Proper Sport at 6. The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
Hello, welcome along. It's the FL 72. Sam and Tom with you for another hour on a Tuesday night discussing all things Football League. Welcome along. Lots to discuss tonight, including Wolverhampton Wanderers. A win last night. Monday night football from the Midlands in that local derby against Birmingham Seas Wolves. 4 points clear at the top of the table today. Can anybody stop them? We'll talk about all of our Yorkshire sides as well. Hull City are on the search for another new manager, Leonard Slutsky, lasting 177 days. The third manager Hull have had in quick succession. Is Nigel Adkins the right man to take over? We'll discuss Leeds United as well. Good point against Villa at the weekend. Another tricky game ahead against QPR at the weekend. Sheffield Wednesday 2, the Carlos Carvajal latest morning. All that and more on the FL 72. And we say good evening, as ever, to Mr. Tom Carnoff, the editor.
Hello.
Of the72.co.uk. You all right?
Yes, I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. Very good. If you're listening online, welcome. If you're watching on Facebook, welcome. Remember, as ever, get stuck in with all your questions, comments, etc., etc. We don't mind a bit of mild abuse every now and again, especially if it's creative, Tom.
Yeah, if we can use it.
Yeah, if we can use it, that's good. If we can put it on a poster, even better.
Yes.
Yorkshire news, as ever. We normally start off with Leeds. Let's start off with Hull.
Yes, because let's start off with Hull.
Leonard Slutsky left on Sunday, wasn't it? Sunday night.
Yes.
He departed from his job. To be fair, he's been trying to get out of it for a few weeks. Now, every interview he seems to be saying, I'm not the right man. I want to go home, please. The fair has gone, as he was pictured on that whole fair enjoying himself. So circus out of town, but and so is Leonard Slutsky. The right choice in the end, do you think?
No.
No? I think he should have stayed?
I don't know. It's a difficult one because, again, we've spoke about it so much before. Similar to Sunderland, you feel that Hull's problems are just much deeper than any manager can sort out. But at the same time, I think probably was the time to go, really. 4 wins in 21. It's not good enough, obviously. But again, I think it's going to be difficult for any manager to come in and try and solve the issues that they've got going on there. Of course, he had an impressive CV, but, you know, CSKA in Moscow, international manager at Russia as well. He was at Moscow for a very long time. Just couldn't cut it at Hull. So, yeah, understandable. But again, it's been coming, hasn't it? For weeks it's been rumoured. He seems to have given up. It's been rumoured for weeks that they were going to make a change. It's weird how the change didn't come after throwing a 2-0 lead at home to Bristol City and losing 3-2. It came after gaining a point away at Hillsborough. Mm. It's weird timing. But, yeah, not a massive surprise. And Hull, obviously, there seems to be someone pretty clear that's going to come in. But again, I'm not sure how good of a job anyone could do at the moment with kind of so much uncertainty above the manager's head, really.
Yeah, we'll talk Leeds United very shortly, but Leeds have obviously been in this position recently. Do we change? Do we stick? Obviously, yeah. A new manager like Slutsky had gone in there. Leeds chose to stick. They look like they're coming out of a bad bit of form. But Hull, like you said, never really got going all season for them. They've sold a lot of players. And you know, for any manager coming in, it's going to be difficult. Nigel Adkins underperformed, I would say, as Sheffield United manager. He seems to be the bookies' favourite at the moment anyway. Do you think someone like he could come in and keep Hull up?
I don't know. I think Hull can stay up because, despite everything, I think there are three worse teams than them at the moment. They've got the quality there probably to keep themselves up in that aspect, but again, it just doesn't fill you with that much confidence that they're making this change. Nigel Atkins is so clear favourite, it's obviously going to be him. But then you look at the names after that, you've got Simon Grayson, who in a similar position at a similar club in Sunderland struggled and couldn't get them to do anything. In fact, they obviously ended up much worse than Hull currently. And then Gary Megson, who has been out of management for however long, did a bit at West Brom, said he got obviously the taste and wanted to get back into management. But you just look at the list and it's not the best list of candidates. Mm. And Nigel Atkins, I don't know if it's the situation for him. I don't think he's the hard-hitting person who needs to come in, be a bit mean, sort it out, get some results. I'm not sure if he can, but we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, he's heavily odds on with the bookies at the moment. Yeah, I think you can rule out probably a Simon Grayson. I'm sure Gary Megson is itching to get back in. Tony Pulis in the list, you can rule him out. I doubt Uwe Rosler would jump into that fire. Aito Karanka as well. You know, why would someone like him, who is obviously biding his time to get back in, go to Hull? As one thing I did look at and think, why not Phil Brown?
I was about to say about Phil Brown, because he kind of threw his name in a bit a few weeks ago when it was starting to, obviously the form's not been great, but a few weeks ago it really started to pick up that Hull will be changing managers shortly, soon. And Phil Brown put his name in, said, he's kind of hinting that he'd quite like it. Doesn't seem the way they're going to go. Weirdly, Phil Brown would seem the short term that probably they need, because I know they need some long-term planning and long-term vision, but in the short term they've got to make sure they're safe. Got to make sure they're going to stay in this division to give themselves something to build on. I know I said there's probably three worse teams than them, but it doesn't mean that they're going to be safe. They're going to be fine. They could end up going down. They're the way they're going, they're certainly heading towards it. So I think they need someone to come in the short term and just turn it round. And Nigel Atkins, my experiences with him, he's a very nice person, probably one of the nicest people in football. But then maybe he's too nice for it. I think they need someone who you know is going to come in and be a bit mean, get some results, turn it round, and just try and steer them away from danger, because that's what they need at the moment. Mm. But like I said before, it's just difficult with the situation at Hull. I don't know who could come in and make it work.
No, I think it's difficult, and you say there are three worst teams. I'm struggling to see them, to be honest. I think Hull are only going to get worse. I can see players going in the window. If you're a Premier League team looking for a winger, you could do a lot worse than Grzycki that they've got there. A couple of other players as well, potentially. And looking at the bottom three, Burton, yep. Sunderland, they're only going to improve for me under Chris Coleman. I think he will get the reaction from the players. And I think they'll stay up, to be honest. Birmingham, you can argue, aren't going to get much better under Steve Cotterill at the moment. And then you look at Bolton, their run of late has been okay. They're stringing results together, grinding out results. And Hull, I just can't see it, to be honest. I can't see them winning that many games. I think it's going to go right to the wire for them. And Barnes are obviously going to get sucked into that. But I think everybody else above that, I think will be all right.
I don't know, I'm looking at Sunderland. I'm still undecided on Chris Coleman, really. I've said it before, at club level, I'm not too sure. Obviously did what he did at Wales, but then they did have some pretty good players despite this underdog status that they tried to attach themselves. Again, they lost at home again. They've not won at home in just under a year. It is near a year now. So the next time they play at home, it will pretty much be near the year anniversary since they last won at home. They've got Wolves away this week, so you're not sure if they can go and get, if anyone can really go and get much from Wolves away. Bolton, given the financial constraints, given the quality, given the interest in the likes of Josh Vaylor, who's been linked to a number of clubs, they're going to have to sell if needs be. So I'm not sure how long they'll keep it. Like I said, Birmingham and Burton, I just think they're, Burton especially, Birmingham don't seem to be going anywhere under Cotterill. I think it's just the fact that there are worse teams than them. You look at the individual players that Hull have, and they do have some talent there, probably enough to keep them out of it. But again, I think because of the issues, similar to Sunderland, they're obviously Hull coming out of the Premier League, etc., there are big problems, and I don't think any manager can come in and kind of just make it work. I think where they are now, is probably going to have to be the aim. Surely just get 20th-ish and just stay in the division and try and build on it.
If you remember in our pre-season predictions, I think I did tip Hull to go down, I think.
I think I had him about 17th, 18th, if I remember rightly. But again, I think they'll be okay. I think they're going to be saved by the fact I think there are three worse teams than them. And we don't know what could happen if it is Atkins, whoever comes in.
People have been getting in touch on Facebook. Kev Markey, evening Kev. Carvajal looked like the fella losing it the weekend, not Slutsky yet. We'll get onto him very shortly. Kev also shouts Phil Brown. Would Jimmy Bullard make a good pairing? Go the opposite way. You want a bit of a mean character going in and kick some backside, but those two go in, you know, motivating, lift the players. Could you see a duo like that working?
I can't see it. I couldn't see that working. I think, I don't know, if they went for someone, and they're probably not, it looks like it's going to be Atkins, but it's all ifs. If they did get a Phil Brown, how long could you keep this going? How long is the short-termism? Because I reckon he could probably give him a good December if he was appointed. Because apparently they are going to get someone in before Brentford, and that is going to be Nigel Atkins by the sounds of it. So I imagine someone like Phil Brown would probably give him a good December, but then I'm not sure afterwards. So it's how short-termism they go in here. It's difficult.
Indeed. Nathan Blanchard, I think it's a farce that a club like Hull are in that position anyway. Appointing Slutsky was an awful decision from the word go. The appointment of Slutsky, despite his record and being Russia manager and CSK Moscow manager as well, it reminded me a little bit of Darko Milanic.
Yes.
Just this bewildered guy turning up in East Yorkshire.
Hey, hello.
You just thought at that point, yeah, I'm not sure this is going to work.
I know we say about the record, and he has a very good CV, and we said this at the time, you know, when, I'm sure we were saying this pre-season, that we didn't think we thought they were going to struggle, but in fairness, the manager looks to come, in fairness to him, with a decent CV, decent history. But at the same time, then you've got to question why he's then coming to Hull in the Championship. Same with, like you mentioned, Darko Milanic at Leeds. He had a great record, but then I suppose you've got to question why he's now at this level. But yeah, again, it's not worked. And by the looks of it, by the names being linked, they're obviously going the opposite way now. They're getting someone in who has previous experience of this division to try and steer them clear away from danger, because that's got to be the aim now. It's just got to be survival, surely, now.
Yep, Philip says for Hull, January players will see the likes of Grzycki, Bowen, etc. leave. Yeah, Bowen's done really well this season, so it's going to get harder for them. I keep saying about Grzycki, you know, I like him. I thought someone might have got him in the summer window. But if you're a team, for example, like Burnley, Robbie Brady's just got injured. That looks like it's going to be a season-ending injury. You need a winger, someone like him available, you know, heading only one way down to League One. Potential cut price deal. I can't see why teams like that, who maybe need a player at this time of the season for various reasons, wouldn't try and get someone like him out and Bowen as well with the goals he's got.
It's difficult though, isn't it? Because then Hull could probably be a bit more resilient with it, saying, well, we need him to stay up.
They could have done that in the summer.
But you could say that about a lot of the teams down there, bar maybe Burton, who had Irvine taken away in the summer, who was, with the greatest respect, probably one of the only players that really would be of interest to other teams. Looking at the bottom end of the Championship, you talk about Birmingham, the amount of players they've bought in, the quality they've got. You know, Jota, who was fantastic at Brentford, has suddenly disappeared at Birmingham. I don't know whether it's because he's in a bad team. You could say the same with Sunderland, Bolton maybe not so much. Barnsley, who have had so much talent taken away, have still got talent there for the taking. So, yeah, I think everyone down there's in a similar situation, but I don't know. I know they bought players in, and we said this before, they bought some decent players in the summer, but it wasn't the calibre of players that they'd lost.
Paul says, what about maybe Roy Keane or Gary Megson at Hull? I think Gary Megson's a decent shout for the position they're in, just someone who is going to come in and try and grind it out. Roy Keane, I wouldn't see why someone who's probably biding their time for a decent job would jump into that.
Yeah, the only issue with Gary Megson, I know it's because this spell at West Brom, hasn't it? He said, right, he wants to get back in, or he'd fancy getting back into management now. But again, you're looking at the betting odds. Phil Brown, Alan Kirbishley is on the 25-1. And for me, if you're appointing Gary Megson, you may as well be appointing an Alan Kirbishley as well. Because I know Megson had the spell at West Brom, but the managers from so long ago, it's a bit of a risk telling them to come in and keep a team up when they've been out the game properly for so long.
He's been the assistant manager at West Brom.
Yeah, but a West Brom team who, having seen them this season, were atrocious, were probably one of the worst footballing sides to watch, which inevitably led to Tony Pulis losing his job.
Yeah, well, a Tony Pulis side and a Gary Megson side, put them two together, you're not ending up with pretty football at any level. But you know what Hull need just to grind something out. But I just said didn't really work for West Brom. Kev says Hull is like a miserable Russian city, so he should have settled in well. Slutsky.
I have a lot of friends from Hull.
I'm
going to stay out of this. It's a bit bleak. There we go. That's my analysis.
It's capital of culture, Tom.
Apparently it is. Yeah, I don't know why, but it is.
So there we go. Hull City still looking for their new manager, but it looks like Nigel Adkins is going to get that job before the weekend. We'll talk Carvajal in a bit. But Leeds United, 1-0 draw Friday night against Villa. Thoughts from that, and you know the results at least have put together now over the last few games.
Yeah, turned it around a bit in recent weeks. It looks a bit better now. They've seemingly got out of this this run of form, which is good. Weird, because if you said you'd take it'll be a 1-1 draw with Villa before the game, you probably would have taken it as a Leeds fan. As watching that game progress, I asked Thomas Christensen this after, and he said it's something I identified with the team afterwards, after the game, that it felt a lot like the Derby game when Leeds played him at Elland Road not too long ago, where Leeds were very good first half, played some good football, had a lead that they took in, and couldn't end up getting the victory. At least this time they picked something up from it, but it echoed similarities to that, which is disappointing, and that's why you feel probably that there's a bit disappointment that Leeds couldn't go on and get the 3 points. But again, they more than matched Aston Villa throughout that game, more than matched a Villa team who are fancied for promotion. I think it was just in the end, when you're looking, with the greatest respect, we've said it before and we've said it so many times, the calibre of player that Villa could introduce to the game was not the same as the calibre of player that Leeds could. So, inevitably, that was the issue. But overall, positive. And the main thing is they're now picking up points, and they seemingly have got out of this atrocious run of form. They seem to have turned the corner a bit on it. And December is massive, massive month now, because they play, I think, pretty much six teams in the bottom 16 over December. I mean, there is a real possibility you could get 12 points plus this month if they can pull it together. So it's it's going to be an interesting month. But on Friday, overall positive in the end.
That's an interesting point about the next few games. Some very winnable ones there. But in terms of Villa and what we've seen from Leeds this season, they've tend to maybe underperform against some of the bigger sides, not just towards the top end of the table, but also physicality as well. Was that a bit of a turning point, the performance against Villa for you? They got that point.
Yeah. It's difficult because first half they were very good. They were very, very good. Played some good football, got a good goal from it as well. Caleb Ekiban up front seemed to suit the style of play that Leeds wanted more than Roof and Lasoga have. I know Lasoga's got the goals in him, so has Roof. Ekiban yet to find the net in the league. But the whole link-up play seemed to work with the three behind him much better. So it seemed that, you know, they'd put in probably a better performance against the top teams than we'd seen, obviously, at Wolves, Sheffield, Wednesday. Taking nothing away from Leeds, I was a bit underwhelmed by Villa, though, really, in the end, considering this was a team that really been fancied for promotion. It was an interesting afternoon. It was just, I'm not sure if you could say they kind of turned the corner a bit, purely on the fact the second half was, again, a different side to the one we kind of saw in the first half. So it's just trying to find that consistency, I guess, over 90 minutes.
Yep, Kev says, difference on Friday was the subs. Class for Villa, underwhelming for Leeds. Go along with that.
Yes and no. Again, like I said, it's happened more than once, especially with the teams at the top. If Leeds want to be with the teams at the top, I'm not sure where the impact comes off the bench. I think now it helps that Caleb Ekiban's performing, because up front it was a big concern. When Lasogo wasn't firing, you're bringing on J-Roy Grott to play the exact same role, and we've been through it so many times that he's not a Lasogo-type striker. But obviously they have the likes of Henry Lansbury, who can come off the bench, who inevitably did change the game by scoring. And Leeds just don't, which might be a bit of an issue in the long run, especially if, of course, they want to be that top six team that they've so publicly said is the aim this season.
Elsewhere, let's have a look at some of the other comments coming in regarding Leeds. Few still coming in with shouts for the whole job. Paul Ince among them from Paul. Jordan says Stuart Pearce, that would be a good choice. Philip chucks in, Kev chucked in Harry Redknapp and Philip Alan Kirbishley as well. But Paul Ince and Stuart Pearce? Forgotten managers in a way?
Yeah, I'm not too sure. It's someone who's been out of the game for a while. You're trying to find that short-termism, isn't it? You're trying to find a Neil Warnock. That's, I think, what Hull need. And obviously Neil Warnock doing so well at Cardiff, but they need someone who could just come in, turn it round, and then maybe use that momentum to get them through the rest of the season.
Huds Heb says, if it's not town, it's not Yorkshire. William should have got all 3 points against Villa. Hernandez's injury changed the tempo of the second half after a tough few fixtures. Got three must-win games now to push ourselves back into the playoffs and push on. As you said, the next few fixtures look winnable, but QPR this weekend, which has been a tough place to go at times this season. QPR certainly better than their away form, their form at Loftus Road. A couple of good scalps on their record, but then two home games, Norwich City, who have been very in and out this season, and Hull City, who have just talked about, who at the moment don't look like showing any signs of improvement.
Yeah, like I said, it's a big month. QPR, of course, big game on Saturday away from home, as most away games are really in this division. But no Baptiste, no Mackie for them, suspended for QPR after incidents at the weekend. So that's a big boost for Leeds. And then obviously the week after that, you've got Norwich team have underperformed. Hull, as we said, who aren't doing. You should be looking at Norwich and Hull at home as very winnable. Burton away, of course, last season was different. It was a big changing point, of course, for Leeds in terms of, that was really when you felt that they had fallen apart, that the playoff ambition had gone. Birmingham and then Forest, so going into the new year. So it's six fixtures that are all very winnable. Very winnable for Leeds. And I think out of that, for me, you're aiming, if you get 12 points or more from now until including the 1st of January, I think you've got a good return and you'll be in a decent position. It's just how they approach these now. They've had tough games. They've now got on paper what should be a better run for them. Just trying to avoid being obviously complacent and expecting victory. They've got to perform like they have done in recent weeks.
QPR, that's a decent scalps at home. They've beaten Wolves, they've beaten Sheffield United as well. Five wins are on the board at Loftus Road this season. Three draws, just two defeats on the road. Leeds have got a pretty decent record. Five wins on the road, five defeats on the road from their away games. So they are capable.
Yeah, they've looked good away at the teams towards the bottom end of the table, really. You look at Bolton at the opening day, they made such a fantastic start, really out the blocks, ended up winning the game. Barnsley, a couple of weeks ago, looked comfortable throughout the game, managed to get a result there. So they go to a QPR team who, you know, we've said about the suspensions, they're going to be weakened. Leeds need to go and really look to get 3 points here, because they're 3 points that they really, really should be getting. I know a few people have been saying about Pablo Hernandez on Friday. He went off injured, changed the game a bit, and it did change the game. Pablo is obviously a key part, and by the sounds of it, he should be back this week. It doesn't seem to be a long-term injury problem, or that was the suggestion on Friday anyway. So we'll have to wait and see, but it should, you hope, be a good month for Leeds if they are to be a top six side.
Fingers crossed. Kev says Ekiban looks a prospect, but we need lower Ings or even Gregory in January, along with a class left back. The Leeds have to strengthen up front. Surely they do.
Yeah, I think so. That's just natural. I think Leeds really should be targeting a goalkeeper, a natural left-back, as much as Berardi's a fan favourite. He's not a left-back. Cameron Borthwick-Jackson, what's going on with him?
Yep, ghost of a player.
It's a goalkeeper, left-back, striker. I know I mentioned Ajoa before. I think he'd be decent. Danny Ings, someone like that, Liverpool. It's just whether you can somehow work out a deal to bring them to. For me, goalkeeper, I've said it before, I'd be going to Liverpool and talking about Danny Ward. Mm. Of course, at Huddersfield, experienced success at Huddersfield last year, not been involved at Liverpool. I'm really surprised because I felt at the end of last year that Liverpool might keep him, which they did, but use him more. They're just not using him. So, yeah, I think three key areas for Leeds. And if they can recruit right in January, then we could be seeing what is a decent Leeds team. What is a good Leeds team? They've shown it. They can play at times. It could become even better. And really, really make Leeds top six contenders if they get it right in January.
It'd be interesting symmetry, that, wouldn't it? If they did get Danny Ward from Liverpool, you're right that you thought he might have been involved a little bit more in some of the games. But obviously, Rob Green ending up at Huddersfield as their number two. If Leeds could loan out last year's Huddersfield number one, to steady the ship at the back in goal, it would be interesting, and you're back again with someone like that, a stronger goalkeeper at this point, more consistent, as proved last year, that again, more points on the board would follow for Leeds.
Yeah, and it's again, using Danny Ward, he's not playing, he's not involved at Liverpool, he's there, he's doing whatever. Leeds should be going, look, we're going to play him every week. He's going to come in and be our number one for the second half of the season. I don't know what that means for Felix and Lonergan, but frankly, they've been given opportunities and they've not looked impressive. I know Lonergan had a decent couple of few games, but when Felix was called into action, mistakes started to show Lonergan in recent weeks, which has led to Felix coming back in. So if you can go to him and say, look, we'll have him until the end of the season, we're going to use him as number one, you imagine that they'll want him to get out and playing football like he was last year. It's just the striker one. I just don't know if Leeds are going to be willing to pay the money, the going rate for a championship striker. Because if you want a decent championship striker, you're talking, what, 8 to 10 million quid? And it's where do you go that you can get someone like that if you are willing to pay the money? And like Kev, the suggestion I made is an Ajoa at Leicester, who's not involved at Leicester. Good championship striker, could fit the system Leeds want as well. But again, it's all ifs. It's Leeds have been linked with players already. I'm just not sure which way they're going to go. And if the club feel that they do need to strengthen as much as probably we need, we think.
Back to some of the comments coming in. Maka says, Pablo going off changed the game, lads, as we didn't show the same threat. Also a question from Joachim as well. How is Hernandez?
Well, I spoke to Christiansen Friday and asked him about Hernandez, who came off, and he suggested that it was, by the sounds of it, it doesn't seem bad. It was more of a taking him off before it came something, and Christiansen said, Pablo's professional enough to know that when he needs to come off, he should come off. So by the sounds of it, it was an injury prevent. They didn't want to carry on in case it became something worse. Again, we've not really heard anything early week. We'll probably find out later in the week when we speak to Thomas again. But early days, by the sounds of it, it was a case of injury prevention. Pontus Janssen had a knock. He's fine. We'll have to wait and see. But the impression I got was that it seemed to be okay, that you probably expect him to be back for this weekend in a game that, is going to be difficult. But with Dallas coming back, with O'Kane back as well, Lasoga on his way back as well, Leeds should be pretty near full strength for it.
Elsewhere, Dennis says the game against QPR at the weekend, very winnable for Leeds. Guy Balderson, who always loves to have a bit of a dig at you, he says,
join the queue.
Tom, stop going on. It's crazy for Leeds, and now it's like watching a great side. We should be a top six team.
Should be when they're on form. They're a good team. We saw it Friday. They are a good team. We've seen it numerous times. It's just the importance of back-to-back victories for me and getting a run. In December, the team's capable of it. They can get a run of games going, which, you know, should help them push up the table and be where they want to be.
Yeah, question for Gow, what do you think Leeds needs? You know, you're saying again, Leeds need to get top six. Are they short in any departments for you and for anybody listening? Give us a shout. You know, we're only a few weeks away from your favourite time of the year, with a bit of transfer news, Tom, when he comes back out in January, giving us all the latest gossip. We've actually got a little bit of gossip for you later on as well. Elsewhere with Leeds, Philip says he'd love to see Hugo from Preston in a Leeds jersey. That was obviously something before the season.
Yeah.
He had a decent start to the season, faded a little bit now, but again, a player contractually, his time at Preston is running down, I believe.
Yeah, it's getting 2018, so we've got another 18 months, is it, on it, but again, you're headed dangerous territory when you're approaching the final year of a contract.
2018's only next summer, Tom.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, fair enough. 6 months.
6 months.
Seven months. So he's obviously coming up, out of contract nearly. Transfer request came in. Difficult position for Preston now. They know that they could probably sell him this summer for a decent fee. He's 25, so clubs can approach him if they want. I don't know if clubs will want to go through the free transfer Bosman route. If they want to bring him in, you imagine they'll want to bring him in now. So it could be one. Could be one. 6 goals, 2 assists this season. A lot of them did come early form. Apparently a former product of the Glen Hoddle Academy in Spain. So you know he's good. So yeah, it could be one. It could be one. I'm undecided on Hugo. I still am. I'm not sure. I think he's one of those where maybe you want to see it a couple of seasons, a good couple of seasons, and then you're probably saying, yeah, he's a decent forward.
Yeah, he's an interesting one. Let us know your thoughts, whether you would like to see him in a Leeds United shirt. Philip says, last season, Leeds were a second-half team. This season, we're a first-half team.
Feels that way. Feels that way. And I think it's more because Leeds kind of, you feel, need to come out the blocks and try and get a foothold in the game, take control of the game, score first, and then they feel more comfortable. We've seen it when they go behind, they struggle and they try and struggle to find a way to get back in. Whereas, yeah, like I said, last season you felt more comfortable Leeds in the second half to come out of the blocks and get it going. A concern for me at Leeds at the moment is late goals. Goals in the last 15 minutes, which they concede. We saw it on Friday. We've seen it before and it is an issue, and I don't know whether it's a fitness, whether it's a concentration issue, I'm not too sure, but we're kind of seeing the reverse of last year where Leeds can perform well for 45 minutes and try and get, obviously, that go-ahead goal, make themselves comfortable, and yet, as the game goes on, that they concede. So, yeah, it's an issue, but I'm not sure what it comes down to, whether it's a mental thing, whether it's a fitness thing. Not able really to put my finger on it, to be honest, and try and work it out.
Let's have a look at the rest of the Championship. Obviously, Wolves winning again last night, still top of the table, 4 points clear today. Anyone stopping Wolves, do you think? Doesn't look like it at the moment, does it? If you had to put a shiny pound somewhere.
Yeah, a very good team. Again, they just keep winning. Solid outfit, again, said before, they've got Sunderland at home this weekend, so you imagine that's another win. They are a very good outfit, a very good team, and here's that. Can anyone stop them? I'm not too sure. I said before, I think I had them outside the playoffs at the start of the year, purely because I was unsure how this was going to work. My concern was, would these players settle in? Would this agent bring in the right players? And it seems to have worked out well. They've got some top quality additions, you know, and that's not just the £18 million midfielder and the £13 million, whatever it was, held at Costa. It's Bonatini, who's come from Saudi Arabia, which isn't really a football hotbed, let's be honest. That's some good scouting that's brought in there, some good freebies, some good loan players, and yeah, it's all worked out well. So unsurprisingly, they seem to be the team that are going to go on and win it.
And what about Cardiff? 6 points now in front of the teams in third and fourth, Bristol and Sheffield United. Can they open up a gap? Is it a two-horse race in this title?
I don't know. I'm still
four in a row.
Still unsure about Cardiff. I don't know what it is. They kind of remind you of Huddersfield a bit, where there's a lot of doubt there going, oh, well, we're not sure about the quality of the player. Will they be able to do it? But 20 games in, they've only lost three times. They keep on winning. Neil Warnock, again, become, we know the person he is, the manager he is, the fixer will come in short term, sort you out. Whereas now he seems to be able to, over the long term, once again, get a team promoted. Still undecided, still not sure. But let's face it, 6 point gap already. They're flying. They've got to be confident and they've got to fancy themselves to go on. We're near the halfway point. They're second, a good gap in second as well. So why not? Why not? They've demonstrated it already that they can.
Yep, Neil Warnock going for that record promotion, of course, this season. At the weekend, Wolves are in action against Sunderland. Cardiff go to Reading, who are on a mini revival themselves, unbeaten in four games, won back-to-back games as well. Bristol City, they remain third. Interesting game at the weekend. They go to Sheffield United. Bristol City, and of course the Blades,
yes.
Last three games, obviously losing out in a thriller against Fulham at 5-4 at Bramall Lane, then again a disappointing draw, you would have to say, against Birmingham at the Lane as well. And then at the weekend, said last week, I thought it was a tricky game, going to Millwall, beaten 3-1. This is going to show what they're made of this weekend, back at the Lane against the team they're level on points with in the division.
Yeah, Bristol City, a team who travel well, as well, lost just 1 in 10. So they'll fancy their chances. They've been in difficult situations already this season. You're looking at the KCOM at Hull, 2-0 down, 3-2, won the game. Some very good results for them in recent weeks as well. Beat Middlesbrough, of course, the victory over Hull. They lost, had a bit of a blip, but before that, beat Cardiff as well. So full of confidence, they can go to Bramall Lane, see that this is a Sheffield United team who were out of form over the past couple of weeks. And you know, if they get a victory there, we're talking about them being level on points and close the gap on Cardiff, maybe open up a gap, and you know, results depending, by Sunday or Saturday night, this Sheffield United team could be sixth, which I think when we were so, you know, when they beat Leeds back in October, we were saying how good of a team this is potential championship winners. They're having a bit of a bad form at the moment, but I suppose it just reflects how tight it is between the top six and the team in third, second.
Sheffield United, an interesting game that at the weekend. What about Derby? A lot of love out there for Gary Rowett and the job that he's doing once again. Obviously, worked miracles at Birmingham. You know, we've seen what's happened there since. But again, this Derby team have always spent money. They've always ended up mid-table, despite everybody fancying them for promotion. It's took him a little bit of time to get it going, but they're playing well at the minute, winning games and up to six.
Yeah, they're doing very well. The blip against Ipswich last week, who, I mentioned Derby in a minute, but Ipswich, who have turned it round. They faded off, didn't they? And now they've turned it round. They're only 3 points off Derby in sixth, but Derby going very well. Barnsley next up for them, which, again, you probably fancy a Derby win there. They've just been in this situation before. We've seen it before where they've been in the playoffs. They've fallen out. They've not been able to secure a top six finish. But with the manager in Gary Rowett, we all know how good he is. Everyone sings his praises. He's a very good manager at this division. Spoke about Birmingham, how well he did with them. Look now that they're struggling. And that's seemingly after spending money and improving since Rowett's left. Far from the case. So, yeah, they've got the quality in there. You know, Vidra, he's shown it already that he's a good player at this level. He's in good form at the moment for Derby as well, as had a very good November. So another team where things are looking positive, but they've still got teams who are hunting them down. If Sheffield Wednesday turn it round, if Leeds can get up there as well, if Middlesbrough can turn it round, could be a competitive little battle for six.
Yeah, I would say Middlesbrough, the interesting one. You mentioned about Ipswich turning it round in the last few games, couple of draws, couple of wins in there for Mick McCarthy's side, and they go to Middlesbrough at the weekend. And Philip asked a little while ago on Facebook, is Gary Monk living on the edge with Borough? It seems they're seeing the problems that Leeds saw last season. I don't know how much I necessarily go along with the same problems, but he is struggling to get this Borough side going and be consistent.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, given the fact how confident they were of promotion back to the Premier League pre-season, that coming from Gibson, that coming from the club. It's very interesting to see where it has gone wrong there. That we know the quality they've got, we know the money they've spent, and it's not quite working. We're, again, seeing the reflections of his time at Leeds, where, by the sounds of it, there's no plan B. At times, there doesn't even seem to be a plan A. I'm not sure if they can cope with the pressure. I know before the season, we're saying it all depends if Gary Monk can adapt to this new situation. At Swansea, there was no real pressure on him in terms of there was no expectation. Leeds, there was the expectation, but the realism was, well, over the past few seasons, Leeds have been far from the playoffs. Okay, they eventually, you know, bottled it, dropped out. However, he gave Leeds the belief, and he got Leeds playing good football, getting good results, going on a great run at times as well, where at one point we talk about Leeds as potential top two automatic promotion candidates. Seems unable to replicate that at Middlesbrough, which, again, given the money that they've spent, is remarkable, given the striking department, where you've got players there who would start, pretty much all of them would start in every team. The midfield, they brought in Johnny Howson from Norwich as well. They've got quality throughout the squad, and it's just not working. And when they're sat in ninth at the moment, at the start of December, people are calling for him to go. Fans are calling to him to go. It shows that it's not a happy atmosphere. So I'll have to see how they get on this month. But again, if it's January and they're still floating around ninth, tenth, you're not sure how long he's going to get. But then that said, I reckon Gibson, it's more of his thing, isn't it? He was the one who appointed him. I'm sure he won't want to say he got it wrong by sacking him at the start of December.
Yep, usually a man that shows some patience. But, yeah, you wonder. Defeat at Ipswich. And if you just take the last five games for Middlesbrough as an example, and, you know, touched on it a little bit earlier with Leeds against some of the sides above them, that they've won two games in the last five. They beat Sunderland. Obviously, we know about them this season. Awful. And they've beaten Birmingham, who, again, the teams that sit in the relegation zone, and they've lost three games. They lost to Leeds, who are a place above them currently. They've lost to Derby, who obviously just sneaked into the playoffs now, and Bristol City, who are third, so struggling against the better sides in the division, Borough.
Yeah, looking at it, I saw them play against Leeds. They were far from great. They weren't great at all. Take nothing away, Leeds were good on that day. They played well. They really took the game to Middlesbrough, and I think maybe Leeds, you know, helped the fact that they couldn't play. But it just looked like a team without real direction. They obviously got the goal. I think it'd be fair to say it was probably without sounding like Carlos was gifted to him a bit by a refereeing decision, where sometimes it wouldn't be given, sometimes it would. So yeah, it just seems to be a team that currently doesn't have any direction. I don't know what the approach is. January, do they spend more again? They've already spent, and it's been shown that it's not working. It's just how far they are away from the top two now. The expectation was surely minimum top two. Challenge for the title, get straight back up, and they seem an absolute million miles away from that at the moment. So I don't know. I'm not sure how long he's got left. I really don't. I think he'll probably get this month, of course, going into January. I think the fact that Gibson won't want to admit the man he appointed, and the whole fuss that went with it in Monk leaving Leeds and the circumstances he did, and sacking him at the start of December. But then that said, if this month carries on and they're still 9th, 10th going into the new year, they're only going to get further and further away from the top. And you imagine a change is going to be needed, maybe to give a manager a second half of the season to try and get him in the playoffs. But after that, really building a side that could challenge and play football that can get them back to the Premier League.
Philip says the big problem at Borough, he thinks, is that they have played defensive football for a few seasons now, but under Karanka they were getting results playing cautious football. Under Monk, they are not.
It's all the various kind of questions that go with it. It just seems to be a team that, I know, against Leeds lacked direction, didn't really have much, and then the kind of hilarity of Gary Monk coming out afterwards and saying he didn't think they played that badly. And you purely just taking that on the scoreline, the fact that it finished 2-1, and you're going, it's, that team was bad. They're going again to the likes of Leeds, Bristol City, the teams around them, they're not getting anything out of it. So I'm not sure what it is, but the longer it goes on, the more and more fans that are saying they want him gone, the more and more the kind of toxic atmosphere, to put it, the atmosphere that you know, it's negative, it's obviously not going to benefit the team, like we've spoke so much about Sheffield Wednesday this year, where it seems just easier to get rid of the manager, to get rid of that and have a fresh start.
Yeah. Do you think it's harsh, though, in terms of Gary Monk? Obviously, they've appointed a young manager. He's only had a couple of jobs, really. It takes time to come in and assess things and then make the changes. And for Borough, and I know that the atmosphere is getting pretty toxic up there, but before Italker Anker and before Steve Gibson decided to give it yet another go, they'd spent a few seasons in nowhere land, really, that he hadn't really put the money in. They were just kind of treading water in the Championship. He decides to go again. They get promotion to the Premier League. They drop out at the first attempt. And then in the next season back, you know, after a difficult season where they did lose their manager, they ended up with a caretaker until the end of the season. You know, they are ninth and, you know, within touching distance of the playoffs.
Yeah, but I think it goes down to the fact that there was the public kind of all the expectation in the summer, that it seemed to be the amount of money they're spending. The belief was that they could just easily go back up. They've got Gary Monk, one of the highest rated managers at the time in this division. He'd taken a Leeds team who, let's face it, hadn't spent massive amounts of money on it. Really probably shouldn't have been where it was. It was a good start in 11, but beyond that, the squad depth wasn't there. And he did well, arguably probably overachieved for that team. Leeds had so long negotiated with him back and forth. It didn't work out. They picked him up. It was meant to be obviously a big thing for them, and it didn't come with it. The results haven't come. But it's that you're looking at them as a couple of points off the top six. But I think we need to look at them how far they are away from making the top two. Because at the moment you think they're on 29 points. Cardiff are on 43. It's 14 points away. For a team like Middlesbrough, I just don't think that's acceptable given their pre-season expectations. And again, the other thing is, for Monk, Italker Anker was so popular with the Borough fans, and that connection's kind of not there with him, and I think that's maybe another issue that potentially could be there.
A difficult guy to warm to, I would say, Gary Monk.
Yeah.
Not a man difficult to warm to, a man that is full of love and joy is Owen Coyle, of course, our mascot here on the FL72, even though he's no longer with us in terms of being a manager of a team in the 72. He's up there in Scotland making waves, of course, at Ross County, but we like to serialise here his life at the moment, looking back on some of the great things that Owen has achieved. We hope that one day he will return to us here in the Football League.
Yes.
And Tom, today's edition of the 30-second Coyle Life Stories.
Yes, so this week he spoke about his greatest achievements last week, if I remember rightly, his biggest disappointments in his playing career. And this is where he talks about the missing out on the Coca-Cola Cup final being dropped by the manager. And he finished off by giving some nice advice as well when things don't go well in life and how to deal with it.
There we go. Make sure you listen to the end.
Some wonderful players led her through that team. Steve McManaman scored the 2 goals, I think, for Liverpool. That day was unplayable. It was like the Steve McManaman final. He was incredible for Liverpool. Liverpool beat us 2-1. So it took 2 or 3 weeks, got myself back to starting 11 and never came out of it. And then went on to have the high of playing at Wembley in front of 80,000, scoring a goal and getting your team to the Premier League. So I think that's an important message for anybody, that when disappointments come, which they do, that you understand, okay, your heart never fails, but with the mental strength to overcome that.
Tell you what, I can't wait to tell the grandkids in a few years about the Steve McManaman Coca-Cola Cup final.
Yes. I'm going to have to watch this when I get home because he's built it up. But what a lovely way to end. Well, because I was feeling sad, and the first time I listened to it, I felt a bit sad and upset for Owen, but his advice at the end suggests to me that, no, no, it's all okay, don't worry.
He's a great man with great advice. Steve McManaman, Coca-Cola Cup final. Let's do this.
Obviously, the result 5-1 is disappointing, but again, they're from mistakes.
And Harry Kewell, the Crawley manager, has started with three defeats, so disappointment for him.
So Harry Kewell still awaits his first win as a manager. Crawley have been well and truly put to the sword tonight.
Poor old Harry. How's it getting on, Tom? I have not looked.
Last week, of course, the FA Cup second round was this weekend. They're not in it because they're rubbish. Last Wednesday, they took to the Checkatrade Trophy to play Fulham under-23s at home, and it finished Crawley 1, Fulham under-23s 3. They finished bottom of their Checkatrade Trophy group. 2 goals, 8 goals conceded, no wins, no draws, 3 losses, 0 points. Not well. You look at their recent form, the colour-coded form chart, there is one bit of green of the last 10 games. They face Stevie Evans's Mansfield this week, a Mansfield team in good form, getting themselves back up to where they should be in 7th. And Crawley, 17th, but just 4 points above the relegation zone. I'm still amazed that it's December and he's still got this job, but good news for this feature, because it's my favourite. Again, it's just not going well. But at least they've started scoring and conceding, because they just drew 0-0 for a while, which, of course, is boring. So at least they're doing something now.
Good at least. Let's hope that Harry Kewell can keep his job for the time being. I think you're putting a bit too much pressure on the lad, being his first job and all that. I'll tell you what, I've got an idea for Sean Harvey. What about the team that finishes third in the Checkatrade Trophy goes into like a Europa Checkatrade Trophy,
like the Intertoto,
yeah,
and you just play really
against Spanish third division teams.
That would be brilliant. I'd like to see Crawley rock up in some, like, just in somewhere in Spain that they've never ever heard of to play a village team. I think that'd be good. They might win. They might get a win.
It's possible.
I wouldn't hold my breath.
Take note, Sean Harvey. There we go. Crawley Town Watch for this week. We've not got much time for Good Days, Bad Days either, Tom, which is extremely disappointing. Let's just crack on very quickly, because I can't believe we've got through most of the show and not talked about our favourite championship manager at the moment, which, of course, is Carlos Carvajal.
Yes.
4 draws in a row for Sheffield Wednesday. Kind of talked all season again about discontent, unrest amongst the supporters. They go to Norwich at the weekend, who are 16th, Sheffield Wednesday 12th at the moment. Are some of these games coming up in December make or break for Carlos now?
I think so. My issue is he can't just carry on blaming referee decisions. Fair enough, there might have been shouts for a penalty, but you cannot keep saying that that is the reason you are not winning games. So if Sheffield Wednesday finish 12th in the end, is it going to be remembered as the season the referees, all of them combined, decided, let's just do over Sheffield Wednesday here? Because there may be penalty decisions, but at the same time, you can't just blame your last 10 games where you've not won on the fact that there's a penalty decision. It's remarkable. It may be clear, but at the end of the day, you've drew 2-2 at home with struggling Hull. It's not good, and it seems to be, from what was obviously trying to take the attention away from the team, to what you see is just desperation to try and get an explanation of, you know, it's not bad, we're not bad, it's the referee's fault. I'm just not sure how long he can go on for like this. And it's not just the team, but it's just all doesn't seem to be going well.
I think we've said that quite a few times. It's just when and what will be the breaking point,
yes,
for the ownership of Sheffield Wednesday. All that money and, you know, again, December, mid-table.
It's not. It's that, and for me, the whole comments afterwards. I can't believe that it's obviously just the referees, otherwise they'd be in the Champions League winning it, beating Barcelona and PSG, if the referee just gave them a penalty. Although I am looking forward to when they get a 95th minute penalty and miss.
Still be the referee's fault.
It would be the referee's
fault.
Looked
at Jordan Rhodes the wrong way.
Very much looking forward to that.
I wouldn't be surprised if Carlos Carvajal is the first man ever to sue a referee over a decision.
Get the odds on it.
Watch this space on that. I said to Tom before the show that surely tonight of all nights we would have time to have an extended Good Days, Bad Days feature.
Yes.
But I was wrong. We've got 60 seconds, so let's get on with it.
Yeah, the good news is there's two games in League One, so we don't really have to do League One because there's not enough to choose
news.
From. Championship, good for Ipswich Town. They scored 4 goals in a 4-2 victory over Nottingham Forest at the weekend, moves them back up towards the playoffs, and now within touching distance of Derby in 6th. It's bad for QPR. Said it already, 2 men sent off in a 1-0 loss away at Preston North End. It's going to be a difficult one for him against Leeds this weekend as well. Into the FA Cup, not Football League, but Hereford. Good day for them. They held Fleetwood Town to a 1-1 draw to take them to a replay. They're going to be ill. They were in the third round draw. And it's bad for Blackburn Rovers. I don't know if you saw this. They were 3-0 up at home to Crewe. Then got 2 men sent off and drew 3-3. So they now have to go to a replay from what was a very, very easy winnable position after 20 minutes. That's Good Days, Bad Days this week.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Tom. I forgot as well, because the news bed's slightly shorter now as well, so you could have had 4 extra seconds in theory.
No League One, is there?
No, thanks for listening to us on the FL72. We'll be back again the same time next week.